Psalm 1 is our text today. We read of Joshua already, whom God told to be strong and courageous and not to turn from to the right or to the left from his law, from his instructions. And God would give him success. We come to the Psalms equivalent of that in our psalm today, Psalm 1. Let me begin by reading our text. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Psalms are God-given songs for communion with Him, for singing in the Spirit, and thus, as we learned last week, for shaping your souls to commune with God, to savor Jesus Christ. And the Psalms entice you to that relationship, to that end, from the very opening word of the Psalms. They call you to joy. And that's really what our sermon is going to be about today. I was initially planning, even last night, to get a little bit farther in the Psalm. But as I meditated on it more this morning, I thought I better stick with just the first word. So the first word is our text today. They call you to true joy. I don't want a miserable life, and I don't suppose many of you do either. But is it possible then to have joy in Jesus in the midst of this sin-cursed world with the realities around us? Well, I would just submit to you today this first word of the Psalms as your final goal in life. The first word of the Psalms is your final goal in life. Blessed is the man. The text opens up. The very first word of the Psalms, it gives us hope that joy is real and that it can be ours. And I think it's worth pausing to meditate on this word. Blessed. It's a word that, interestingly enough, does not occur a lot in the rest of the Old Testament. At least in its noun form, it first shows up when Moses pronounced a blessing or gave a statement of blessing about the children of Israel at the end of Deuteronomy, right when they were just about to enter into the Promised Land, as he's given them his final words, his last charge before he's taken out of this world and before the children of Israel entered into the Promised Land under Joshua. Moses said in Deuteronomy 33:29, "Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph." Similarly, the Queen of Sheba, many years later, she came to visit Solomon and she saw all of his glory and the amazing way that the Lord had prospered him. She said, "Happy are your men, happy are your servants." The book of Proverbs announces a joyful life with this term, this noun, seven times. Such as when Lady Wisdom calls out, "And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed is the one who listens to me. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." You see right away, by the way, the close connection of this condition of blessedness with wisdom, with true wisdom that comes from God. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." At the end of the book of Proverbs, the verb form of the same word is used about the excellent wife, that virtuous woman whose children arise and call her blessed. She has God's favor. But there's a special urgency in the Psalms, interestingly enough, to direct your attention to this joy expressed by this term blessed. Because This term is not only the very first word that we open up the Psalms with, blessed is the man, the very first thing we see. Not only that, but it is used far more in the Psalms. It's 26 times in the book of Psalms than anywhere else in the Old Testament. There's a special concern to direct your attention to this condition of joy, this happiness, this true happiness here. Beyond that, it frames the opening Psalms. You might remember the last week we talked about Psalm 1 being the entryway to the entire Psalter. Psalm 2 then opening up into that first book of the Psalms, Psalms 1 through 41. And Psalms 1 and 2 together, providing a lens through which to read and understand the entire book of Psalms. And guess what words we find framing the beginning and the ending of Psalm 1 and 2? Blessed is the man, Psalm 1:1 opens with. Psalm 2:12 closes with, blessed are all who take refuge in him, the Son. There's a particular artistry here that is intending to draw our attention to being blessed. Not only that, this term opens up another psalm that's sometimes called by the same name as this first psalm is. It's sometimes called a Torah psalm, a psalm that's about the instruction of God and living that kind of life. What's the longest psalm, the most extensive meditation on God's law throughout the Psalms? Psalm 119. And how does it open? Blessed. Blessed. Psalm 119, 1 and 2 both use that term, blessed. It's used in the Psalms, the same term, used in the Psalms which conclude Book 1, Psalm 41. The verbal form is used in the Psalm which concludes Book 2, Psalm 72. And then back to the noun form in the Psalm which concludes Book 3, Psalm 89. And the Psalm that concludes Book 4, Psalm 106 and verse 3. And then when you get to the very end of the book, as the whole book concludes in a crescendo, a salvo almost, of praise to God, Psalms 146 through 150, guess what we find at the beginning of Psalm 146? Psalm 146, excuse me, verse 5. Same term again, blessed. You see, you can't pay attention to the Psalms without saying, God wants to draw your attention to something here. He wants you to pay attention to this. What is this blessing that we want, this true happiness? Well, the way this term is used, by the way, is not to place a blessing upon someone. There's a different term for that, Baruch. But this term is rather to pronounce on the state or the condition of someone. In other words, from what you can already see, it describes the condition of somebody who is in a life-giving relationship with the Lord. Somebody who's in that state, who's in that condition, who's in that relationship, is someone that can be described with this term, blessed. And thus, by holding this term up here, and even particularly in this psalm, by describing this kind of man, what the Psalms are doing is holding up for you an example, a vivid picture of this kind of condition, so as to encourage you, to entice you, to draw your heart to say, yes, that's what I want. I want to be in that kind of state as well. I want to enjoy life in that way. It encourages desire, this kind of life, a blessed kind of life, by seeing its goodness, its delightfulness. And because it describes then a right relationship with the Lord, it describes all the characteristics of that kind of a relationship. It indicates them as well. So, let me just walk through the Psalms besides our current text here. And you just have to listen unless... Well, I take that back. But we'll go ahead and turn here just so you can see this and meditate carefully on what the Psalms have to say about. What does it indicate to say somebody is blessed? Besides this text in Psalm 1, we can go to Psalm 2, verse 12, as well as Psalm 34, verse 9. But turn over to just Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Submit to God's anointed Messiah. And then what's the blessing? Blessed are... What kind of people are in that condition of being blessed? They're the people who take refuge in the Lord. They look to him as their refuge. They don't look anywhere else. Where are they going to flee from wrath? To the Lord. That's where they're going to find their refuge. That's the blessed people. Turn over to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. The kind of a person that can be described as blessed is a person who isn't running around trying to hide all of his sin from God. Cover it up. Make sure God doesn't see. Make sure I'm not judged for this. Because you can't hide. You can't run. It won't do you any good. God knows, and He judges justly. How then can we know happiness? How can we be free of guilt and that immense burden? Well, here's the blessed condition. When you're in a state where God has forgiven your sins, that's when you're blessed. When your transgression is covered. When the Lord is not counting any iniquity against you. That's what it means to be blessed. Look over to Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33 describing the steadfast love of the Lord. In His rulership over the nations, and it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. You're in a blessed condition if God has chosen you. If God has chosen to take you into an intimate relationship with Himself, to put His name upon you, to be identified with you. God's sovereign choosing makes a man blessed. Psalm 84, verse 12. Psalm 84, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. He makes the Lord his trust, Psalm 40, verse 4 puts it. Similar kind of idea. He places all of his trust right there. Psalm 65, verse 4. Let's turn back there. It says in verse 2, O you who hears prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. What puts us in this condition of being blessed? Obviously not our sinfulness, but the fact that God chose to draw me near to Him, to bring us in His very presence, to dwell in His courts, to see His goodness, to delight in Him. That's the condition of being blessed. Psalm 89. Let me go to that one. Psalm 89, verse 15. As the psalmist here sings of the steadfast love of the Lord, particularly it's shown in the covenant God made with David. He says this, praising God's kingship. Verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exalt in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. What's it saying? The people who are in a blessed condition, who have God exercising His loving, saving lordship over them. That's what it means to be in a blessed condition. When God is actively exercising His sovereign reign on your behalf. That's why it says, blessed are the people who know the festal shout. They gather together in festival and they shout out the praise of God. What makes them happy to want to shout? God is on our side. God is working. God is delivering. God is saving us. He has shown us His favor. We are blessed people. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk in the light of the Lord's face. Psalm 94:12. Psalm 94:12. Because of this great trust in the Lord, God's people depending upon Him, even in times where they go astray, it says this: "Blessed is the man, 94:12, whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it." You're in a blessed condition if God is acting like a good father, to use the language of Hebrews 12, and training you. He's disciplining you. That means you're in a blessed condition. Because it means you're not like the wicked that he will arise against and ultimately judge. It means he is shepherding you, he is correcting you, he is training you, and bringing you to a place of rest until the pit is dug for the wicked, the psalmist said. That's a blessed man, according to the psalm. Psalm 106, verse 3. Let me begin at the beginning. "Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times." Now here's a new theme we haven't heard so far in the Psalms exposition of the blessed man. But it starts with looking to God and his mighty deeds, declaring his praise, and it moves right into those who observe justice and do righteousness. These, by the way, are the outworking of the mighty works of the Lord. When God is at work, doing his mighty deeds, showing his steadfast love, his faithfulness to his people, they observe justice. They do righteousness at all times. Do you realize it is a cursed position to be in for the Lord to let you go in the way of sin? Not to be practicing righteousness, not to be doing, observing justice. You see, when the Lord is actively at work, he's putting his people in this blessed position where they do justice. They do what's right. That's the blessed man. Psalm 112, 1. Psalm 112 and verse 1. "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His seed, his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." The man who fears the Lord, who exalts God and sees himself as low before him, that's the kind of man who's blessed. Psalm 119, I already mentioned. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." The Lord actively working on behalf of this man so that he has a full quiver of children, the children of his youth. Psalm 137, verses 8 and 9. And here's one that challenges our thinking, challenges our sensibilities. But when they speak of the psalmist in exile in Babylon, speaks of their mourning there, they call upon the Lord to exercise justice against his enemies. And verse 7 says, "Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, 'Lay it bare, down to its foundations.' O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed. Blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock." Why would the psalmist say blessed? He's talking about the Lord executing his justice in the earth. And when the Lord does that, there is true blessing. There can't be life apart from true justice. And he's calling upon the Lord to exercise his true justice in the earth. Let me just look at one more. There are others, a couple others we've skipped, but let me just look over. Look at one more. Psalm 146, verse 5, as the Psalms crescendo to their end here, calling on us to praise the Lord. It says in verse 3, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish." So instead of putting your trust there, what do? "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry." This is the blessed man that's described and pictured for us by Psalms. And I've taken time here this morning to walk through it just a little bit to unpack some of the dimensions of what it means to be a blessed man in the hopes that it will draw out your hearts. It will entice your hearts to say, "That's what I want. I want to be that kind of a person. I want to be in that kind of a position. I want to be the kind of position that is in this life-giving relationship with God." And so to sum up, we could say that, as one man has put it, to be blessed is the joyful spiritual condition of those who are right with God, and the pleasure and satisfaction that is derived from that. It's even put here in Psalm 1:1 as a plural to communicate the fullness, the blessednesses of the man who is in this kind of a condition. It's not simply talking about being happy in a sense of a superficial feeling. Oh, something good happened to me today. I feel great. You know, the policeman pulled me over while I was speeding, but he didn't give me a ticket. Whew, I'm happy. You know, life is good. Okay, I didn't want to have to pay that fine. It's the kind of a happiness, the kind of a joy and satisfaction that comes from that relationship with God and thus flows into all of life regardless of circumstances. That's why, for instance, the last one we read, you don't put your trust in princes. They can't ultimately fulfill. They die. But there's the Lord, who's the maker of heaven and earth, who keeps faith forever, who cannot fail. When your joy is there, in that relationship with him, this is the real thing. This is the real thing. Now, interestingly enough, the Greek translation of the Psalms that was used in Jesus today consistently translates this term blessed with a Greek term, makarios. And it's no accident that this was the word Jesus used in the Beatitudes. In fact, I'd like you to turn there too. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. As Matthew gives us the inspired record here of Jesus' teaching to the crowds, how does he open? How does Matthew even open this public ministry of Jesus in what he's communicating to people that they need to know, that he wants to call them to? He opens with blessed. Same term, blessed. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus' description of the blessed man actually fits the contents of the Psalms very well. If you know the Psalms, in fact, you might wonder, after me trying to say, there's this great theme of being truly joyful in the Psalms, blessed. But you read the Psalms and you know the Psalms and you might think, how come so many of the Psalms are laments? They're crying out to God, writhing in the pain of this world. How does that fit with being blessed? Well, they're showing you the path of those who are truly headed to the kingdom. Isn't that not what Jesus was just describing here? Here's those who are truly going to the kingdom. Blessed are those whom everything goes well. Those who are on top of the world. No, those who are poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn. Is there mourning in the Psalms? Very much so. For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Are the Psalms full of meekness and humility before God? Very much so. And they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Just think of Psalm 119. Let longing after God's way, God's law, God's truth. For they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed the pure in heart. You can just walk through these and find these reflected in the Psalms. This is the path of those who are truly headed to the kingdom. These are the songs of the kingdom, the Psalms are. You know, when John the Baptist wondered if Jesus was truly the Messiah, he had announced him, he had proclaimed him, but wrestling with, how does this work? Is this really, are you really the Messiah? Jesus described the signs of the kingdoms that he was doing, the sign of the kingdom that he was doing, and then he said, and blessed, same term, is the one who is not offended by me. He was the one bringing the kingdom. You had to trust him. Jesus told Simon Peter that he spoke in parables because of the hardness of the people's hearts. But, Matthew 13:16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You are in a condition of having a life-giving relationship with the Lord. He has blessed you to allow you to receive me and my teaching, to follow me, because I am the way to the kingdom. I am the king, bringing the kingdom. Peter was seeing the kingdom, that which the prophets had longed to see, Jesus said. Peter's seeing it now. He was in a life-giving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The grand finale of the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, triumphantly again declares blessings. And the angel said to me, Revelation 19:6, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you've been one of those who are invited, then you are blessed. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. The next chapter, in chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. True blessing. The final chapter of the New Testament includes this blessing as well as one other. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. They have the access to the true New Jerusalem. Those people are blessed. I would like to just ask you today, is this you? As you look at your life right now, is this you? We've seen what a blessed man is, the kind of condition he's in. Are you one of the ones who is, to just to go back to the Psalms, taking refuge in the Lord. Does that describe you? Is your transgression forgiven and your sin covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? If so, you're blessed. If not, you are without that life-giving relationship to God. Have you made the Lord your trust? Are you one the Lord has chosen and brings near to dwell in his courts? Are you one who dwell in the Lord's house, ever singing his praise, whose strength is in the Lord, and whose hearts are the highways to Zion? Psalm 84, 5 and 6. Are you one of those people who the Lord is disciplining and teaching out of his Torah, his law, his instruction? Are you one of those who is observing justice and doing righteousness at all times? Are you one who fears the Lord, greatly delighting in his commandments? Are you one whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord, who is keeping his testimonies and seeking him with your whole heart? Is that you? I hope you want that condition today. I hope there's something in your heart that answers to that, that cries out for that, that says, I want to be in that kind of condition. I desire that. You see, because what the Psalms are holding out from you from the very first word is joy is real and it can be yours. But you better find it in the right place. It's not going to be found in anything passing. It's going to be found in this true blessedness. Full, all-encompassing happiness is going to be found in a life-giving relationship with the Lord. That's the kind of happiness that's going to endure through all the changing circumstances of life and even bring you to your place at the marriage supper of the Lamb, your place in the kingdom of God, the eternal joy of all the saints. We're learning to sing the songs of the kingdom when we look at the Psalms. We said last week that they shape your soul to be directed to the kingdom, to desire the kingdom, to live in light of the kingdom, to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Does this resonate with you? I trust so. If not, let me call upon you to turn from all fleeting joys and anything less than true blessedness. You cannot find it. What are you after? What is your soul hunger and thirst for? What do you, when you just want to have fun, where does your heart go? Is it the kingdom?